The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
The word is honor. You know, Pastor Rob, he's an amazing man. He's got an amazing heart. He brings us the word time in and time out. And he's not here, so feel free to tell him how nice I was to him. But he's been on the kingdom, right? You know, we have keys to the kingdom outside, and stepping into the kingdom, it's a fundamental part of Christianity. In fact, a lot of us feel like salvation is the most important part, and that's salvation is what we were destined for. Salvation was the original intent, but we now, as Christians, as we're not citizens of this world, we're citizens of heaven, and we were snatched at birth, and we were placed as soldiers, as missionaries into this earth. And our goal and our plan and our purpose is to inhabit.
Yes.
What? Oh, sorry. For shame. Our goal and our plan and our purpose is to inhabit, take forth, and occupy the earth. And it's that attitude that we have to have as Christians. It's that purpose and that mission statement that we have to understand. And those keys of the kingdom, those foundational principles that can set our lives to the things that God has planned for us cannot be accessed without honor. I am preaching way better than your amen, and that part was free. So, but honor is completely contradictory to what we hear in this earth. It goes completely against the culture. You are taught, kids, that your parents are stupid, your parents are foolish, your parents don't know anything. We're taught that old people were just to be laughed at, right? We don't respect authority. Police are just fat, out-of-shape donut eaters, right? We'd have no idea what it's like to honor or respect anything except myself. And so look what's happened to this earth. Look what's happened to this nation. Where are we morally? Where are we? We've never been in a worse part because honor is a foundational principle. I can't get what you have for me. I can't receive from you if I don't respect you because I can't see past your issue. And what we struggle with is that God set up a principle. In the Old Testament, it was really easy. If God wanted to come talk to you, he would send an angel to you, or he would come to you. But in the New Testament, when Jesus came, he kind of changed the way it works. He says, I'm going to send heaven through you. But that's a problem, because look at me. I have issues. I'm not perfect. I sin. I struggle. And so when God has sent this gift that's inside of me to you, you have to see past my faults. You have to see past my issues. You have to see God. But it's completely contradictory to what we're taught in society. Turn with me, please, to Matthew 13 and 44. And Brittany tells me I always get there too fast, and you guys are still flipping, so I'll wait. Good job, baby. So when you're there, say honor. All right. Honor. All right. Honor. All right. Okay. If you're not there, say honor less. Okay. We're waiting. While you're turning there, I'll set this up. One of the things I think that we fail to realize, or a lot of us fail to realize, that Jesus didn't really preach salvation that often. What Jesus preached and what Jesus taught and what Jesus lived was the kingdom. And so what we're seeing here is Jesus is sitting down and he's explaining the kingdom. And he's doing it a bunch of different ways and a bunch of different types because people came from different backgrounds. So he wants to make sure that he hits everybody's situation to put it in that real world context. And one of the ones that I love the most, and one of the ones that I think is the most impactful, is here in Matthew 13 verse 44. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. God hid a great treasure in a very average place. Has anyone ever been in the field? It's full of potential, but there's nothing there except probably thorns and probably like deer droppings and holes from. There's just nothing except issues. You know, if a farmer looks at a field that hasn't been tilled or hasn't been managed, all he sees potential, but there are issues. I'm going to have to do all of this to get it to where I want to be. And hey, guess what? That's me. I got issues. There's potential, but there are issues. And God loves us so much that there is a gift hidden inside of that field. The man is you and me, but the treasure, hey, that's inside you and me too. I could just preach that. I'll work it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I will work it. But here, this part's free. You know, this. If we could get this principle and understand, guess what? The man valued the field so much that he went, sold all he had, and bought that field. There's some people in here, the reason you haven't lived up to that principle is the reason your life is in the problem that it is. You have relationship after relationship after relationship where you've given away the treasure. Come on. It's quiet in here. You've given away your treasure without making someone purchase that field.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I think Brittany is the most amazingly wonderful woman on the planet. And guess what? I can't wait to see all the amazing gifts that she has with our life together. But I will never get that without investing in that field, because she's pretty perfect, but there are one or two things that are issues, mainly me. Right? But everybody, we all, guess what? We all stink every now and then. Right? We all mess up every now and then. We all screw up. We all do things. Those things are really cute at the beginning of a relationship that now annoy the crap out of you. Those are issues. And it's time that we stop letting ourselves give away the most precious thing, that God-given gift,
yes, sir,
without making someone take a stand and purchase and invest in your treasure. And it's not just romantic. Come on. It's not just romantic relationships. If you're asleep, is this thing on? It's not just romantic relationships. There are work relationships. You need to stop telling so-and-so your business because they haven't invested in you. There are people you need to stop sowing your dream in because they have not invested in you. There are people that you need to stop talking to and get rid of because they are not invested in you. Come on, somebody. There are people who are holding up your gift. There are people who are retarding your growth. Because why? You gave them your gift without investing in your field.
Uh-huh. Come on, sir.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That's good.
Yes, Lord. Help me, oh God.
Lay it on thick.
It's a life principle. Tithing is about honor.
Yes, sir.
I can't draw from a well I don't fill back up. Let me say that again, because we're talking about money. People get, I don't know, they lose their hearing, they just poof, turn it off. Tithing is a principle of honor. God says that if you give back to me, I'll give back to you. You cannot, like a friendship. How many of you have friendships where all they do is pull from you and you never get to receive, right? What happens? You die. It's not just about money. I can't completely draw from things that I never refill. Bitterness comes from that. Brokenness comes from that. Hurt comes from that. My life is entirely too short to deal with that. The older I get, and I'm not saying I'm old, but the more mature I get, I guess I'm not saying I'm mature either, but as I go, I quickly find out when I graduated high school, I would have told you I had 500 friends. Easy, I knew I had 500 friends, but guess what life tells you?
Yeah.
I have like two. I got a world full of acquaintances, and I love all of you. But guess what? We're not all friends. We can go to dinner together, and we'll hang out. We can play basketball together. We can go to a movie. I love all of you, but friendship takes time.
Right.
Friendship takes investment. Friendship takes intimacy.
That's right.
And you can't pull the gift out of Randy without investing in some of those issues. If you've ever been on a road trip with your best friend, you understand that it starts to get a little funky after a while, right? And you maybe talk about some things that you have no idea, you don't care about. But there's that intimacy. You're investing in that because you see that treasure. Can I go deeper? I was going to anyway, so we're going to make this a lot easier. All right, if you can, turn to Numbers 6. For those of you, it's the fourth book. Numbers 6:22. Now here we have two generals of the faith, right? Moses, the Moses. And let's read it. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses. Who did the Lord speak to?
Moses.
He spoke to Moses. He said, tell Aaron. Now wait. The Lord spoke to Moses and he said, tell Aaron? Why wouldn't God talk to Aaron? There you go. But by the nature of the position of Moses, God used Moses to get to Aaron. See, what we do is we say that because it looked a little different in the Old and New Testament, there are new principles. It's the exact same principles, just packaged a little differently. God spoke to Moses to get to Aaron. What does that mean? That when Moses spoke, who spoke? God spoke. When Moses walked into a room, who walked into a room? God. Now, when Moses screwed up, who screwed up? Moses. Okay, just you're tracking with me. We're good. But what had to happen? For Aaron to allow Moses to speak into his life, or for really Aaron to allow God to speak into his life, he had to not see Moses, but truly see God.
That's right.
And that's what we struggle with. That's what we struggle with as Christians. How many times does somebody walk up to you and say, I've got a word from the Lord, and you're like, you need to worry about you. I know you little kids be running around and drive me crazy during praise and worship. Or I know that, you know, that you be gossiping and everybody. Or I saw you on Facebook and I saw those pictures and nobody can hear from God that has pictures like that. Come on. Or do I just live in the real world and y'all live somewhere else? Okay? So for God to speak, we have to see God in everybody and look past their issues. And by the nature of the position you're in, guess what? Pastor Rob is an amazing person, but he's got issues, right? And maybe he hurts us, right? Or maybe he does something we don't really agree with. Guess what? He's still a man of God, and God has promised that whoever we are under, he will speak. We don't have to worry about Pastor Rob having it because God will speak to him to us. That's how he gets to his people. Honor. Honor. It's foundational in every aspect of life. For us to draw from people, we have to understand honor. Another thing we struggle with is that your miracle is done. When God finished creating everything, you know what he did? He sat down. If you're done doing something, like if you worked out in the garden or mowed the grass or whatever, what do? Sit down, because you're done. Everything God has destined and planned for your life is done. It is done in heaven, and our goal now is to grab in heaven and bring it down to the earth. It's done. But he hides those treasures, he hides those miracles, he hides those blessings in people. So there were times when I was flat broke, well, most of the time, but I was really flat broke and didn't have any clue how I was going to pay this bill. And I said, God, how on earth am I going to pay this bill? Because even though God has never, ever let me fall on my face, I still wonder when it gets real close to it, like, God, how are you going to do it this time? You know? And so I was like, God, what are you going to do? And I was expecting, like, you know, the OU credit union to call me and say, we made a mistake and you now have $10,000, right? Or like God is just going to like poof and this, like I was expecting a fish to show up. I was checking, like I had some goldfish. I was like, nope, no, there's nothing in there, right? I was like, God, you got to show up and make this miracle happen. But that's not how God works. He can. But what he prefers to do is not a bolt of lightning or a flash of whatever. It's for him to put on someone's heart to fill your need, to bless you. He puts your gift, your blessing, your miracle, your prayer being answered on the heart of someone else. So guess what? Every need you have, every prayer you've prayed, everything you need is done. And the person that God might use to bring that out is probably in this room. So that person that you roll your eyes at every time they walk in the room, or that person that you kind of snicker at the way they dress, guess what? They might be the key that unlocks that treasure that answers that prayer.
Come on, sir. That's good.
It's tight, isn't it? It's tight. It's a little tight, but it's right. It's tight, but it's right. Come on. Can I go deeper? Good, I'm going to anyway. So we have to understand that each and every one of us is a blessing. Each and every one of us is a treasure. We have to understand and see our position. And what the enemy does is he tells us that we're not worthy. What the enemy does is he tells us that we can't possibly be called by God. Look what you're looking at night when no one's looking. You, that person can't be called by God. Look what you, or who you talk to, right? You've got a wife, but you text you know who, right? That person can't possibly be called by God. But guess what? You were chosen at the beginning. Before those issues, and yes, there are issues we need to deal with, but you are chosen. But if they can't see past your issues, they can never receive your gift. Even Jesus struggled with this. Turn to Matthew 13. As I get some water. All right, actually, I meant 53. We already did 44. I said 53. So when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? They asked, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this the mother's name Mary? Or isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? When did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So Jesus was still the Son of God, the Word in flesh. And even he was limited because people couldn't see past his past. They knew the little kid who maybe threw a temper tantrum every now and then, right? They knew his family situation. And they said, oh, there's no way he could come from that. Guess what? If it's Jesus' problem, it's going to be our problem.
That's right.
And Jesus was hindered, right? Jesus was held back, the Son of God, because people couldn't see past his issues. So what are you holding back in your life because you can't see past someone's issue? John 4, we won't read the whole thing, but the woman at the well. He couldn't teach or bless her. Why? Because she saw him as who, as from the nation or the nationality. There's no way you would be talking to me, a Samaritan. Jesus didn't really spend a whole lot of time when he wanted to bless somebody or heal somebody. He'd either touch them or speak it and it would happen. But he spent a lot of time with her. Why? because he had to completely shift. He couldn't bless her until he changed how she saw him. He could not bless her until he changed how she saw him. Jesus' principles, kingdom principles. He was always God. He always had it in him. But she couldn't receive that until she took her glasses off and saw him for who he truly was. I want to challenge each and every one of you. It's time to get your glasses off and start seeing people for who they truly are. I wish we had a church and I wish we had a culture that no matter the dirtiest, cracked out, whoever could come in here and we wouldn't see their issue, we wouldn't smell their mess, we would see God inside of them. And they might be the key. They might be that blessing that you've been asking for and longing for, but it doesn't look like what you thought God should have it look like. It doesn't smell like God would have it smell like. It doesn't sound like or talk like God will you. God, that doesn't make sense. But guess what? The biggest treasures, the most amazing treasures are hidden in the most unlikely of situations. You're bigger than your divorce. You're bigger than your childhood. Come on, somebody. What's that issue? What's that issue that traps you up from being that blessing for other people? What's that thing that when you look in the mirror, you see first? It's time that we also start speaking some things to ourselves. That when we look in the mirror, we don't see that issue. We don't even see those 10 pounds that I wish wasn't here. They're 10 times a few. We don't see those 10 pounds that we wish we weren't there. We don't see that imperfection. Or when we look, we don't see this man that we want to be, but we could never be because of what happened in our childhood. We don't see those issues. We begin to speak what God has already put inside of us. Right. It's time to change the culture. And it starts with honor. Honoring ourselves and honoring each other. That's when lives change. That's when churches change. Yes, yes, yes. That's when the world changes. The Roman centurion got it, right? Remember him? He didn't even have Jesus come to his house because he knew who he was and he knew who he was dealing with. And he said, all you have to do is speak it and it'll happen. That's where I want to get. Where I can see somebody and listen, you ain't got to come over to my house. You just speak it because I know that my gift is wrapped up in you. Because I see Jesus inside of you. And probably the hardest thing for all of us to understand, or for I guess not understand, but to truly implement, is I don't have to wait for you to be honorable for me to honor you.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I'm not going to wait for you to be honorable to honor you. That goes completely against what the world says. You earn it, I'll give it to you. The kingdom is completely different. I didn't earn salvation. I didn't earn God's blessing. I didn't earn his favor, but I will take them and yours if he'll give it to me, right? I didn't earn my anointing, but I'll take it. I didn't earn it to be chosen, but I am. And guess what? You don't have to earn honor for me to give it to you. Pastor Rob, by me submitting myself and putting myself under him, he deserves my honor.
That's right.
My parents, by being born into their house, deserve my honor. Now, did they hurt me and screw up? Absolutely. But that doesn't matter. They deserve my honor. My boss deserves my honor. Come on, somebody. Who here is smarter than their boss? It's on audio. You can raise your hand. Okay, we got one. All right. I'm not, in case my boss is listening. But we do their jobs, and then we talk about them behind their back, or coworkers.
Yeah.
Oh, so-and-so is just so lazy, or so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? So-and-so might be the key to your healing. Uh-huh. You don't have to be honorable for me to honor you. Because just like forgiveness, it's not about you.
That's right.
It's about me.
That's right.
Uh-huh. And this part's free, too. When I forgive you, I'm not saying it's okay for you to do what you did. I'm saying I'm not going to let it have any power over me anymore. I'm not going to let it have any control over me anymore. It's not about you. You can go living your life and doing whatever, but I'm going to sleep at night.
Uh-huh.
Honor is the exact same way. You can live an unhonorable life. God will take care of that. 1 softly and gently, and then with a hammer. Whatever way you choose, it's going to happen. But I don't have to wait to honor you, because it's not about you. It's about me and him. And there's a gift inside of you that I want. There's a gift inside of you that I need, that I'm dying for, that I'm longing for. And I'm not going to let you get in the way of my blessing. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, what happened? There were hundreds of people, probably thousands of people in the way. She could have said, no, there's no way I could ever get there. No, it's not going to happen. But she said, I'm not going to let these people get in the way of my blessing. And she began to push her way through. And she saw that inside of Jesus was that gift that she needed. Inside of Jesus was that healing that she's been longing for years. And she said, I don't care about my situation. I don't care how people look at me. I don't care what people are going to say. I'm going to touch my blessing. And that's the honor we need to show in life. As I begin to close, I want to talk about someone that we all kind of roll our eyes at. Rahab. Rahab the prostitute. Okay, get it out of the way. Right. I want to know how many of you are those. Right? Or how many of you know the's in your life? And when I say that is, oh, that's Jim, the alcoholic. All right, that's Susie, the gossip. That's so-and-so, the guy who's been divorced 8 times. You can't say their name without also seeing their issue. Well, Rahab was in Jericho, and she was a lady of the night. And what we see, and see, here's, the Bible is an amazing, amazing book, but it's not overly descriptive in some areas. And so we have to kind of just envision with our own life experiences what her life was like. Okay, Rahab, being in that profession, can you imagine when she walked down the street what people said about her? How people looked at her? And we find out that the king knew her by name. She had a penthouse on the wall. So she was very well known in Jericho. So everybody knew her business. Everybody knew what she did. Most women probably knew their husband spent some time there. Do you imagine what her life was, how bitter she had to be? And to be in that profession, you have to emotionally detach yourself. You have to be, I mean, she was broken. She didn't respect anybody. She was emotionally just void and detached, sitting on top of the wall, waiting for the knock at her door to sell a little piece of herself again. This is Rahab. I don't know how y'all read your Bible, but that's, and then we see, this is another free part. For people who say the Bible is boring, y'all are crazy. We got a hooker on the wall of Jericho. It was like the linchpin, the key for the whole thing coming down. That's ridiculous, right? You can read Twilight or whatever you want, but that's amazing to me. I just don't get it. God, I wish you would use the pastor to be that, but no, he chose the prostitute. He didn't ask me. But in Joshua 2, go ahead and turn there with me. So what had happened was, right, the Israelites are trying to take over Jericho. And they sent some spies in. And the king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent the message to Rahab. Specifically, the king said, ha-ha, Rahab's going to know what's up. Okay, if you didn't get that, that's probably better that way. So the king sent a message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the men and hidden them. And so what we find out is they're used to spy out the land, and they get out. And we all know the story, right? What happens? It comes crumbling down. The walls just begin to shatter. And she's taken to safety. And her family's taken to safety. And her life is forever changed. And when I saw that, I think it was amazing that even in her sin, even in her issues, even in her situation, her gift, still shone through. The enemy was so terrified of what she possessed inside of her, he was so terrified of that treasure that he snatched her in bondage the second he could. And there are those of you in here that your gift still shines through, but it's been perverted by some brokenness. It's been perverted by some situation. It's been perverted by something that's happened in your past because of your potential. And what we can see is that she honored Israel. And by honoring Israel, she honored God. By honoring God, her life was forever changed. He knew her faults, God knew her flaws, but chose her anyway. And so many of us live in this dodgeball mentality back in school, where we have to be the strongest, the fastest, the best to be chosen. Well, guess what? Before you got this flesh suit that will eventually die, you were already chosen. You were set apart. You are one of a kind. And that thing that you've been longing for can be destroyed in a moment and set right in front of you. That prayer that you've been asking for can be released in a second. That breakthrough that you need can happen in an instant. And when I was praying about this, and I was like, God, you know, it's, what's going on with this, with Rahab? And he said, look, as she was in her penthouse suite, as the walls came tumbling down, that was her brokenness being destroyed. That was her inadequacy falling down. That was her hurts and everything beginning to roll away because of one simple fact, honor. And so as I close today, I just want to ask you, I want to challenge you, what's that thing that you've been crying out to God for? Or maybe there's this baby inside of you that you've been waiting for God to set at just to birth, this a ministry, an opportunity that you know is inside of you, but it just hasn't come yet. Well, what aren't you honoring? It's a lifestyle. It's a choice. And it's love. I honor you. And because I honor you, I gain access to the wonderful treasures of God. So let's let today be the day where there is a shifting in our culture. There's a breakthrough in our understanding. That we get past the hurts, and yes, they hurt. I'm not trying to minimize that the destructiveness of hurt or say what they did was okay. But as long as we use that, it still holds us. And as long as we use that, it is that wall of Jericho that's preventing you from stepping into your destiny. It's time to honor for no other reason than it can help you. For no other reason than it can set your life on a course that you've been spinning your tires for years and breakthrough. Honor. Maybe there's somebody in this room that you've just been like, I really don't like that person. Honor. Maybe there's a family member that hurt you or said something terrible. Honor. Because when you honor those people, you're not honoring them, you're honoring God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that we live in a nation, Father God, where we can come to you without any fear of retribution. We can worship you, Father God, and we can hear your word spoken to us and made real. And Father God, right now, I just speak honor on everyone in this room, Father God, that there would be a new passion, God, a new purpose. There would be a burning and a desire for honor. That there are people, God, that you have set things inside of them, Father, that they don't even see, God. And when they look in the mirror, Father, that they would not see those issues they have. They would now see honor. And God, let there be a culture change in us, that we be a people of honor. God, let us seek to earn, God, be worthy of earning honor. But even if we don't, God, let us bestow honor on others because, God, you are inside of them. And God, give us a change in our eyes that when we see people, we see each other. God, we no longer see issues. We no longer see imperfections. We no longer see people, but we see you. And God, there are people who have a history, Father God, of giving away their treasure to people who don't earn it. And Father God, right now, I curse that, Father God. I bind that, that they would, God, would feel a new sense of purpose. They would feel a new sense of self-worth, God, and that they would begin to foster and cultivate relationships that truly honor you. And we thank you and praise you in your precious and holy name. Amen. God bless you. It has been an honor. And have a fantastic, fantastic week.